My crazy family. That's right. That's right. We're working on crazy families this morning. We've been working the past few weeks. We've covered things like commitment. We've covered things like love. And now this morning, we've got one more thing to try to help you with your crazy family. And we've all got some crazy family. So this morning, the word that we're going to work on is this right here, is patience. And you think, man, so of all the Sundays I come to church, you're going to preach on patience. Like, what's the deal, right? But I promise this will be a blessing to you. This will help you for sure, for sure. So before we get started, I got some pictures of patience that I thought just sum it up perfect, right? So ladies going to the bathroom, man, like, as a guy, we don't have this problem, right? We get in, do our business, and get out, but I don't know. But you got to be patient here, right? You got to be patient here. What about this one? The mom with the crazy kids, right? The house is nuts. You know, I think we've all probably experienced that if we've got kids and all kinds of stuff. Or Black Friday just happened. How about this one? Talking about patience. How many of you guys went Black Friday shopping? Yeah? Man, every service, it's only been like 5 or 6 people. I think all of us that didn't go, I think we're pretty smart. I'm just saying. We ate a bunch of food, slept in, you know, shopped online. We didn't do this. Just said it's a pretty good deal. Because Black Friday turns into this then, right? Mad chaos. People getting beat up in Walmart for TVs and entertainment stuff. Crazy. Crazy. And then we talk about patience sometimes at home. And my kids end up looking like this. Right? Like, Dad, come on, man. What? Come, help me out. Yeah, I don't have anything to do. Yeah. Patience. Patience. My crazy family and patience. Well, to start with patience, I feel like we need an anchor verse that we can anchor ourselves to for patience. So this is what I've got for you this morning. First, we got the kid and patience. Okay, here we go. James 1:4 says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Let patience have its perfect work. That verse tells me that patience, if I'll let it work perfectly in my life, that I can be perfect and complete, which sounds like a pretty good deal, lacking nothing. So to me, patience and lacking nothing go together. I got to figure this patience thing out, right? That's a big deal. That's a big deal. So in the best Charlie Riley amplified version of the Bible that I could come up with, that's really called the TOEFL amplified version of the Bible. That's what I got, right? Pastor Charlie can sell his in bookstores. I'll just give you mine for free. Yeah, it don't cost you anything. This is the best definition I could come up with for patience. Resting in God's faithfulness in the midst of my, right? Yeah? All right, come on, say that with me. Resting in God's faithfulness in the midst of my, yeah, come on, that's good. We're the only church that'll do today. Yeah, yeah. Patience, resting in God's faithfulness in the midst of my, and you fill in that blank, whatever that is for you, in the midst of my crazy kids, in the midst of my, what, like angry wife, in the midst of like the store clerk that, you know, treats me like a jerk, in the midst of, you know, picking my kids up from school and sitting in the line, you know, patience, resting in God's faithfulness. But it's interesting because if you look up patience in Webster's dictionary, so the world's kind of definition of patience, it says this: patience is delay, trouble, or suffering without getting upset. So whatever happens to you, that's pretty jacked up. And whatever happens to you, as long as you don't fuss about it, the world says, you're patient. You're patient, right? So the dog, you know, you kick your dog and he just kind of walks off. The dog is patient. That's what the world would say. Patience. But taking that definition of delay, trouble, or suffering without getting upset, and then you slide it into this verse, right? But let delay, trouble, without getting upset, have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Throwing that definition into what patience means really jacks that verse up. Lacking nothing, the rest of the verse is about blessing and about being complete and perfect. But patience, in the world's perspective, is when life is all jacked up and you just kind of sit and bear it. But I tell you this morning, God's got better for you. God's got better for you. As believers, God's got a different definition of patience for you. And hopefully this morning, you'll walk out of here with a different definition of patience so that you can deal with your crazy family. That's the goal. That's the goal. I think of patience, a perfect example being, and I'm not that old, but I'll date myself a little bit, all right? How many of you guys have ever been to the library? Man, that should be like everybody, right? Unless you like slept through school, right? We all had reports and stuff to do. So you go to the library back in the day, and there wasn't a computer sitting there. There was what? How did you find a book? You went to the card catalog, yeah. That Dewey Decimal System crazy stuff. So you go in, and you want to find a book. But you can't just walk and go grab a book. You're looking for a specific one. So you go to this cabinet, and you're pulling these drawers out, looking for the right card, and you find this number. Then you take that number, and you have to go, and you find the bookshelf. And then from the bookshelf, then you have to match even more numbers, and there is your book. That is the picture of patience. The picture of patience. Life, for us, a long time ago, man, there were some patient things that we had to deal with. But as life has continued, we're the generation that has become less and less patient. Very impatient. We create things like microwaves, you know? Pop that dude in, push the 30, start, beep, it's done. Eat it. It's awful for you, but whatever. Cooks it fast, you know? We're the generation that comes up with like 40 lines at Walmart, right? But it'll only open two of them. Yeah. So they tease you with patience, like, hey, this will be really fast, but just kidding. You're gonna have to stand there for a while, figure your stuff out. But we're the same generation that struggles with maybe patience with ourselves. We have real high expectations of what we should do or how we should react to things. And we can become real impatient with ourselves or other people, which creates a bunch of just kind of stress and worry and kind of junk. Being impatient never really does anybody any good. So this morning, man, we got to figure this patience thing out. We got to figure this patience thing out. Our lives, especially around the holidays, can get so fast-paced that it just seems like crazy. We have Thanksgiving, Christmas, family, presents, food. I mean, you name it, like everything is crammed in there. And we got to walk through all of that and try to love people and be patient and not kill somebody in the midst of holidays, right? Yeah, we want to survive. But not only survive, man, we want to thrive. We want to do a great job. So how can we avoid becoming crazy amongst our family during the holidays? Well, I'm so glad that you asked this morning because I've got three things for you. We could probably stay here all day and talk about patience. How do you have patience? What do you need to do? What's it look like? But I've got three. Easy to take notes. Piece of cake. You'll walk out of here being like, man, I got it. All right? So the first thing you need to know is patience. Patience is spiritually known. And what I mean by that is if we're going to have true patience, not the jacked up Webster definition of patience, but true God patience, we got to know that patience is spiritually known. God is patient. God is patient. That's where we have to start. When we have a relationship with God, things flow from the top down, right? God's on the top, and what he has for us flows down. So we know this morning that you've heard that God is love, right? God loves, right? So then if you take the Bible and you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you find the love chapter, and you turn in there, the first words are, love is what? Patient. Yeah, right out of the gate, man. You can't get away from that. Love is patient. So if you're going to love, you got to be patient. They go hand in hand. So if God is love and love is patient, then it's very fair to say that God is patient because God is love. God is patient. So let's see what the Bible says this morning about that. Psalms 103:8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Those sound like attributes of someone who's very patient. When I'm impatient, I am quick to anger and I have judgment, right? I think of my kids, man. They catch the anger and judgment sometimes. No patience. But the Lord, it says, is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. It says in Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now, this word long-suffering is the same thing as patience. And I did some study this week into the Greek language, and that word for long-suffering, patience, in the Greek means patience. So there's a Jeopardy question, and they ask what that is. You'll get it right every time. The fruit of the Spirit, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And then it goes on, gentleness, self-control. So the fruit of the Spirit, what God gives you is patience. God is patient. And we know that when we ask Jesus to come and live in our heart, the Holy Spirit comes and sets up residence inside you. And it says in this verse, the fruit of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit brings with it fruit that you can work in and operate in. And one of those is patience. So inside you right now is patience. Pretty crazy, pretty crazy. But we know that God is patient as well. And the last verse I have for that is 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is patient. That's what I want you to grab a hold of. I want you to grab that. And so we know that patience, first off, is spiritually known. We know that God is patient. So we move on from God being patient to this. Patience then becomes homegrown. Now, I grew up in Georgia, so I think of homegrown stuff as like peach cobbler, like fried chicken, just like the good stuff, you know? Up here, it would be what, like mashed potatoes with the noodles and stuff, chicken and dumplings? Like that's a homegrown meal. Something that takes some time to prepare. But homegrown has to do with me. Let's work patience out in me. The process that we're going to go through is God is patient. And then because God is patient, I need to be patient with me, which is really challenging sometimes. So I got a question for you. How many of you, by a raise of hands, how many of you ever prayed for patience? Yeah, come on now. Everybody should raise their hand. We're in church. Don't lie. Come on. Everybody's prayed for patience, yeah? So the next question is then, how'd that work out for you? Huh? Yeah. Not good. Not good. I don't know anybody that's ever been like, you know what, God, I'm going to pray. Please make me a patient person, you know, and then these things come. And then the next day they're like, all right, God, that was awesome. Thank you. I got it. I got patience, you know, it just kind of fell on me and I'm good to go, right? No, that doesn't happen. Man, patience is a process. Patience is a process for sure. So I've got a perfect example of this. Check this out. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. How many of you guys have heard this story before? Yeah, absolutely. We're going to read it real quick. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. That's what we want to be. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, I want to go back and show you this, all right? So we think of like, we want to build our house on the rock, not on the sand, right? The foolish man builds his house on the sand. Except for this, we live in Indiana, and it's really cold. And homeboy built his house on the sand, which means it was warm, right? And that's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal. We like warm stuff. I'm just playing. We want to build our house on the rock. But we take these verses and we think, God, help me to be patient. Teach me patience. I want to be patient, right? And then we take that mentality and we put it on everything that we encounter. So, person, you're driving and somebody cuts in front of you, and no longer is it just somebody cutting in front of you, but now you make it spiritual and you think, okay, God, thank you for sending that person to cut in front of me because it teaches me to be patient. Right? Because I'm going to be patient. Or somebody gets upset with you and uses nonverbal communication, you know, and you're like, God, thank you for the opportunity to be patient. Right? And we make all of this super spiritual. And we view everything through the lens of, God is teaching me patience. Well, can I tell you this morning, that same idea applies to this story. We read this story and you realize that there's a house on a rock and a house on the sand. But the Bible teaches that both went through a storm. They both went through a storm. It rained on both of them. The wind blew on both of them. So the point that I want you to grab a hold of this morning is this. Is when we pray for patience, a lot of times we look at every circumstance and storm. And we say, I'm supposed to learn patience through this. And when that focus is the way that it is and your heart is that way, man, you become real religious. Everything is real viewed through that lens. And it's all about you. And it's all about what you're learning. And it's all about God is teaching you patience. But when we have a relationship with God, we learned just a few minutes ago that God is patience. When we have a relationship with God, you can say, God, teach me to be patient. And it's through relationship with him that you can learn to be patient. Not through every little circumstance that comes. Not through every little person that offends you. Not through your kids driving you nuts. That's just life, guys. Life happens. But God says that he'll be with you amongst the life. So don't view patience as just each of these little chup, 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 chup things. Man, view it as a relationship with God. God, you give me the opportunity to be patient. But my focus is on you because I love you. That's how you grow. That's how you get things inside you. And that's how you change on the inside out. It's not really you changing you. It's God changing you and writing things on your heart. Patience. That's what we're after. I think of examples in the Bible, man. Perfect examples of people that were patient. And there's a guy in the Bible named Joseph. Joseph in the coat of many colors. Yeah, I think we all probably heard that story. But if you haven't, here's a crash course, the Cliff Notes version of Joseph in the coat of many colors. Joseph was a boy, lived in a family, had a bunch of brothers. He had two dreams, maybe three dreams, where God said, you are going to be, I'm going to raise you up and everybody's going to kind of bow down to you. Well, he told his family. His brothers got mad at him. They beat him up and threw him in a hole. And then they decided, you know what? That wasn't good enough. Not only will we beat him up, throw him in a hole, we will sell him and we'll make some money off of him. So they sell him, this boy named Joseph that God promised, I'm going to make you awesome. They sell him and he goes to Egypt. Egypt at the time was the biggest, baddest place on the planet, run by Pharaoh. So he arrives in Egypt and he starts working at this guy's house and things are going great. And I'm sure in Joseph's mind, he's thinking, okay, God, you said this and man, I believe you. I believe you. And we're talking about patience this morning. So listen. So then the guy's wife starts trying to mess with Joseph and it turns bad and there's she said, he said, Joseph ends up in jail. Joseph was a patient man and he came out of jail, began to build a relationship with Pharaoh, got promoted to like second in command of Egypt, saved Pharaoh and all the people. Joseph could have destroyed his life if he wouldn't have been patient. He had every opportunity in life to say, you know what? Forget it. I throw the towel in, man. This is too tough. I'm done. I'm going to be impatient. I'm going to treat people nasty because I just want to. But he didn't do that. He stuck with it. He stuck with it. He persevered. He was patient and trusted God. And at the end of the story, he was what God said he would be. Absolutely. Another example I think of with patience is Noah, right? So God comes, tells Noah, hey, I need you to build this ark. Noah, it says in the Bible that Noah preached to the people of his day for 120 years and nobody got saved. That's bad. That's bad. That would be like you owning a business and making a product and opening a store and nobody comes in your store for 120 years. You know? I think at the end of that, I think I'd be like, okay, I'm done after probably 2 years. Yeah, but Noah didn't. Noah stuck with it. So Noah builds an ark, and then on the ark, what comes on the ark with Noah? All the animals. Yeah. So we think about that Bible story, and we think, okay, you know, Noah put all the animals on the ark, and they were on the ark for a long time. Okay, but I've got another question for you, because I think of the Bible pretty accurately, I believe, and pretty real. So how many of you guys have been to a barn lately? You know, cows, horses, pigs, a variety of farm animals, right? Does that smell the greatest in the world? Or, you know, just, woo! I wake up in the morning and I would just love to go out and just take a big breath of that and woo, I'm ready to go. No way, man. That stuff can reek. So you look in the Bible. Again, we're talking about patience. It all ties in. We're talking about patience. So we have Noah on the ark with all these animals, right? Noah was on the ark. I did some research. Noah was on the ark for 364 days with all of these animals. Now, if Pastor Charlie was on the ark, there would be a big barbecue, right? Yeah? It'd be good eating for a long time. But Noah was on the ark, and I'm sure that place was not the most pleasant. It probably stunk and reeked, and he was probably ready to be done. But Noah was a patient man, a patient man. To the point where the ark landed, the water went away, all the animals left, and God was faithful to Noah. Noah had the opportunity to be impatient, and barbecue everything on the ark, but he chose not to. He was patient. He was patient. Now, if we look, well, I've got a quote for you before we go on to our next thing. I found this, and this is awesome, I thought. This is by Joyce Meyer. It says, patience is not simply the ability to wait, but it's how we behave while we're waiting. We have the view a lot of times that patience is like, here's something to do, and I'm going to be patient, so I'm going to step back, and I'm just going to kind of stand here until something happens, you know? I might fall asleep. I might get bored. I might be that little kid, you know, that had his face all crunched up. That's our view of patience. But patience is not simply just the ability to sit there, but it's how we behave while we're waiting. So when it's time to move, man, are you ready to move again? Are you ready for God to fulfill his promise? Like the TOEFL Amplified Bible says, resting in God's faithfulness in the midst of my awe. Yeah. So we look at a story in the Bible then of somebody who destroyed their life because they were not patient. I can tell you that story real quickly. There's a guy named Samuel in the Bible, was the priest over Israel, and there was a king, a new king named Saul. Saul, it says in the Bible, was head and shoulders above the rest. So I'm thinking like NBA Shaq Saul, right? Just huge dude. I don't know if that's really right or not. Said he was tall. So we have Samuel and we have Saul. That Saul gathers together an army and is going to fight the Philistines. Now the Philistines are the same guys that are attached with Goliath. Goliath was a part of the Philistines. So these are the bad guys of Israel. So it's Saul's army against the Philistines. And they're going, the Israelites are going to attack the Philistines. And so they come to the place where they're getting ready to attack. And Samuel says, okay, here's the deal. Before you go attack, we're going to offer a sacrifice, an offering to God. And then after that, we'll go attack. Because how many of you know doing things with God's blessing is way easier than you doing it on your own? Yeah, Samuel knew that. So he said, wait 7 days. We'll offer the offering. And then, man, you just go on with your bad self. All right? So Saul says, okay. So he waits and he waits and he tries to be patient and he waits and he sees his army start to kind of dwindle and people are leaving and he's getting antsy and he thinks he needs to solve things and he's getting stressed out and things are getting fast paced and he needs to make a decision. Come on, we've all been there. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. You know, we've all been there. Like the pressure's coming. What is he gonna do? And it gets to be that seventh day and he doesn't see Samuel and he needs to go fight the Philistines and his army is leaving and oh my gosh. So he says, you know what? I can't wait any longer. I can't wait any longer. And he offers the sacrifice. So a couple hours later, Samuel walks up and says, hey, what's going on? I smell something burning. And Saul says, you weren't here. And I had to get this done. And things were getting crazy. My army was leaving. And you weren't here. And I had to do it. And Samuel responds with this. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Saul lost his kingdom because he was impatient. He would not wait for Samuel to offer the sacrifice. The proper thing to do was to wait for a priest to offer the sacrifice. But he didn't wait. He jumped the gun and he did it anyway. He was impatient. And Samuel said, you're done. I'm sorry. But it's interesting in this verse that it says, the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. Now we know who that man is. What's his name? David. Yeah. The Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. That tried his best to do things God's way, was patient and would wait on God. But Saul, man, impatience destroyed him. We want to be and let patience have its good work inside us so that we can be blessed. Not have our lives destroyed. So we know that patience is spiritually known. We know that patience is homegrown. And finally, we got to know that patience is family sown. Now, I like these points because they sound like Georgia stuff. Homegrown, family sown. That's what we're about, man. But family sown being, okay, God is patient. I'm patient with me. Now I can be patient with other people. Most importantly, my family. Because you know that the easiest people to be the most impatient with is your family, right? Yeah, because they know you. You're the closest with them. They know what you like and what you dislike. They know how to push your buttons, and sometimes they do it on purpose. Yeah, but we gotta sow patience into our family, into other people. But you say, you know, Toph, this is cool, family sown, patience, haha, you know, patience is cool. But you got to tell me, this is kind of fluffy, you know. Give me some nuts and bolts. Like, I'm going home. Christmas is coming up. I got to be patient. Family sewing isn't getting it done, bud. You know, I need something else, all right? So the first thing I think with family sewing that you need to know is this word right here, attentive. Attentive. Now, you say, what does that mean? I think to sow patience into our family involves us giving space but still being plugged in. I'm talking as real as I can be this morning, all right? When you go home, when you came to church this morning, you know, and the kids weren't getting ready and things were running late and you were ready to lose patience, I'm talking about this. This fits in that circumstance, man. Fits in a lot of stuff. To be attentive, to give space but still be plugged in. So the perfect examples I can come up with patience all involve, like, my family, which for them is a bummer. For me, it's all good, you know? So I think of when my wife and I are, you know, we're fussing, maybe arguing. We're not seeing eye to eye, whatever. It's easier for me to say, you know what? I'll be patient with you, and I'll go into the next room, you know? Or I'll be patient with you, and I'll just be outside if you need me, you know? Right? But we want to be attentive in our patience. So we want to be plugged in. So in the midst of that, when I'm arguing with my wife, we're fussing, I can say, you know what, Samantha? I care about what you have going on, but I'm going to give you some space, but I'm still here. I'm still here. So we can work this out. So instead of fussing in the kitchen, man, I might decide, you know what, I'll just do dishes for a little bit and be quiet. But I'll still be around you. That way you still know that I'm here. I'm going to be attentive to you, but I'm not going to press the issue, or we'll be impatient with each other again. Now, there are ditches for all of these. This is a road, and you can go into the ditch on either side. The ditches, I feel like, for attentiveness are, you can be overprotective. That's being hyper-attentive. You can make sure that everything is perfect and jump on your kids, you know, and make sure that nothing happens to them. Or the other ditch that you can ride in is just to be disengaged, to say, you know what, forget it, whatever, I'm leaving, and go outside or go do your own thing and never solve an issue. And you may think that that's being patient, but it's not. It's not. To be patient, we have to be attentive. So we're plugged in, but we still give space. The second one this morning is helpful. Patience is helpful. It looks like us being helpful. And the good phrase for that, I think, of, again, when my wife and I are not seeing eye to eye, we get along, y'all. I just want you to know that. Love my wife. We have a great marriage. We fuss just like everybody else does. So, but to be helpful, to be patient with her, and to be patient with my kids is the phrase that, hey, I'm for you. I'm for you. Well, she may be explaining something to me, and I am not getting it, and she's getting frustrated with me. My patience, I can show that to her by saying, hey, I don't understand what you're talking about. I'm a dude. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Guys, we're smart in some things. And ladies are a different world. We're all good. Moving on. But to say to her in that moment, like, hey, I'm for you. I'm for you. We're not on the same page. Help me out. I'm for you. To be helpful to her in patience. Our job is not necessarily to fix somebody, but it's to be there for him. The Bible says that God is for us. He doesn't come into your world and kick the door down and rip apart what you've got going on and say, this is how it is. This is how it needs to be. He says, hey, I want you to know that I'm for you. I'm patient with you. And when you're ready to let me in, I'll come in. But I'm not kicking down doors and breaking windows and ripping your stuff up. When we have a relationship, we'll have some conversations about how maybe we need to redecorate in your heart, you know? Yeah. He's patient with us. He's attentive. He's helpful. And finally, he shows us mercy. And we can show mercy to our family. God shows us mercy because the Bible says, it says, even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So even in the midst of, we didn't want anything from God. We didn't know who God was, and we were happy in our own little world of kind of mess. God sent Jesus to die for us, to show us mercy, to show us mercy. The ditch of mercy would be justice, like you get what you deserve, you know? There's no mercy there. That's really not patient. That's very impatient. you did me wrong and things are messed up for you. Haha, you know, bummer, whatever. But we want to be patient with each other, just like God's patient with us. God shows us mercy. We may not have the best day. We may not have everything perfect, but God still desires a relationship with you. He's patient with you while you work through your life. And all it takes is for you to decide that you want him to be a part. And you can have a relationship with him. You don't have to have everything fixed. It doesn't all have to be perfect or pretty, because God is patient with you. And even after you're a believer, even after you have a relationship, man, you'll have good days and bad days, and some days you'll feel like things are awesome, and some days you'll feel like, ah, this isn't going well. But God's still patient with you, man. He's patient with you. So we got to remember, with patience, patience is spiritually known, homegrown, and family sown. We can sow patience into our family and change their lives forever. Because I think about my family. I've got three kids. Specifically, I have a daughter, and then I have two sons. And I think as the man of the house and as the head of the house, like, what a greater responsibility than to show my kids that I can be patient with them, whether they do the right thing or the wrong thing. A perfect example of this happened Friday, is we decided to do Christmas a little different in our family this year. Instead of just having one big day with presents, we're kind of mixing things up and splitting it up. Now, if you want to try this in your home, you're welcome to. You can just pay me $1 for royalties later, you know, and it's all good. I'm just kidding. So what we decided to do is on Fridays, which Christmas will fall on a Friday, on Fridays, we get to open a gift from each other, just one. And then on Saturdays, we're going to do something kind for somebody else. We're going to give a gift to somebody else. So Friday morning, Levi, 5 years old, wakes up, opens his eyes. He must have caught me in the hallway. He first words out of his mouth are like, can I open my gift now? And I'm like, Levi, you just woke up. Like, change out of your pajamas, go to the bathroom, get something to eat. Let's do something before we just rip into presents, all right? And you've only got a gift, right? But he's excited. So all day, it's, Dad, are we ready to open presents? Mom, is it time to open presents yet? You know, he is, which present is mine? He's ready to go all day. To the point at the end of the day, I had to choose patience with him, because I was ready to be like, you know what? You're not getting a present today. You know, I'm going to open your present and play with it. Not you, because you're driving me nuts. Yeah, but he's 5, man, and I get it. So instead of that, I choose to be patient with him. And he gets to see me model patience for him. And he gets to see me say, okay, Levi, do you trust me? Yes, I trust you, Dad. Okay, when I say that we're going to open presents today, do you believe that? Yeah, I believe it. Okay, let me handle it then, bud. I don't need you asking 50 bajillion times. Be patient with me. And in the same time, I'll be patient with you. He gets to see that in a home environment work itself out. Now, it's not always perfect, and it's not always pretty. And there are times when I'm impatient with my kids. And that's usually when I have to go back and say, hey, I missed it. I'm sorry. I should not have done this. Or I should have been more patient with you. I should have given you some mercy or given you some space, but still be plugged in. But we're working things out in my family. And I want my family to be a patient family. I want, when it's time to get things done, man, I want them to go after it. But when it's time to be patient and wait on God and wait on his faithfulness, man, I want them to be chomping at the bit, ready to go. That's what we're at. All right, so bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's pray.